welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Lydia Johnson. This week, we're bringing you a special edition of the show from the Commodity Classic in Denver, Colorado. Over 11,000 farmers from across the country gathered for educational sessions, networking, speakers, and policy resolution sessions. They also flooded the 11-acre indoor trade show filled with the latest ag innovations. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins made an appearance at the event, too. After a meeting with commodity group leaders, she addressed the crowd to lay out broad details about the $10 billion in market relief for row crop producers that's due out by March 21st. Rollins also said the department was releasing payments for the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, Conservation Security Program, and Agricultural Conservation Easement Program. The three major conservation programs had been paused since President Donald Trump took office. Kenneth Hartman Jr. is president of the National Corn Growers Association. He says market development is an important message NCGA is sharing from the event this week.
Well, obviously, we have, still some lower corn prices. So we're looking at creating markets. You know, it's all about creating markets. It's working hopefully getting some trade agreements with countries like India, Vietnam, Philippines. That's National Corn Growers, one of our number one priorities is creating markets.
And on his first day in office, President Trump signed an executive order addressing the need for a pathway to year-round E15. What are the hurdles that must be crossed in order for this to be enacted?
Well, basically that was the bill was last year in the House and the Senate. We thought it was going to get done in the CR, but it didn't make it in the CR in December. But we're hoping that in the future here we can get this bill passed. The bill was introduced 2 weeks ago. We have a campaign right now, a call to action. So anybody that would like to needs to sign on to E15. You can go on ncga.com or any of the Facebook X pages and sign on to that. So we got a big campaign. We're hoping we can get this done here as soon as possible because we need E15 year round in all 50 states.
And the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, has a role in making that available. Lee Zeldin is the new administrator of that agency, and he's previously, as a congressman, voted against the RFS. What has been your experience working with Administrator Zeldin so far, and how optimistic are you that he will be an advocate for biofuels?
Well, we're looking forward to working with him. Obviously, we haven't had much meetings with him or anything right now, but we're looking forward to working with him. We know the Trump administration was supportive of E15 back in 19, so we feel like the Trump administration would definitely be supportive of that today. We're hoping that we can get them on board to get the E15 bill passed, and we'd have E15 year-round all over the United States.
And Mexico has previously announced a proposal that banned genetically modified corn, but has since rescinded part of that proposal. Why is this decision so important to U.S. corn farmers, and how could that decision play into negotiation of the USMCA in the near future?
Well, Mexico is our number one customer for corn right now. We do sell a lot of white corn and food grade corn down to them. A couple years ago when they basically tried to ban GMO corn, we were instrumental at Corn Growers in pushing to put this as a trade dispute situation, and they just came out, I believe it was the beginning of January, that the panel was fully behind that it was a trade situation, and now they've came back where they're saying that they're going to buy food grade corn from us for all corn in Mexico.
And what's the importance of that decision and the timing of that decision with the USMCA being negotiated in the near future?
Well, we feel like the USMCA was a great contract that we put together with Canada, Mexico, and the United States. And obviously that put Mexico as our number one customer for corn. It put Canada our number one customer for ethanol. So we're hoping that we can move forward and keep this agreement the way it is, if not improve this agreement. We're hoping that Trump can do that. So that's what we're hoping that will happen.
We'll be back with more from National Sorghum Producers Chair Amy France right after this.
These are the farmers and ranchers who helped build the America we depend on, and Farm Credit is here for them, supporting rural communities and agriculture with reliable, consistent credit and financial services. In good times and bad, we provide loans to farmers and ranchers, farmer-owned cooperatives, rural homebuyers, agribusinesses, and rural infrastructure providers. We help agricultural producers feed the world. Learn more today.
Think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources.
This This is my sustainability story.
A partnership was announced at Commodity Classic to drive water conservation efforts and agriculture. We asked National Sorghum Producers Chair Amy France about the announcement.
We are really excited about this opportunity to bridge really the full strand of what happens from the farm all the way to the food stakeholders. So it's National Sorghum Producers, Ducks Unlimited, Dairy Farmers for America, and General Mills. So to me, it's like the most well-rounded conversation to have from the crop, what's going on the ground. Also, water conservation is significant and the highest priority with this group because they see, obviously, water is critical, not only to growing, but to our communities as well. And I would say that that's probably one of our top priorities is ensuring that the work that we're doing together in this partnership, incentivizing the sustainability and the practices to ensure that not only can we produce the crops, conserve and protect wildlife, but also protect our rural communities, because we know without those, we don't have anything at all.
Amy, this week, Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins spoke to the crowd here at Commodity Classic, but you were actually with her a few days after her confirmation. Can you tell us a little bit about that meeting and your interactions with her?
Well, Lydia, as a Kansan, I was so excited, and a Western Kansas girl nonetheless, that she came to Western Kansas, the far corner of Western Kansas, to visit and to hear concerns from other commodity leaders. And I think it was really important for her to see the innovation taking part taking place in agriculture. We're on a dairy, which, you know, is incredibly efficient and has taken advantage of those things, but also talking to not only the crop, row crop producers, but all aspects. And so we're thrilled to have her. One thing you hear constantly is the notes that she takes, and she was on it. She was asking questions. So we're extremely hopeful for this partnership.
And in her message yesterday, she said, you know, my team is on 24/7, ready to serve you, ready to serve farmers. And she's obviously has a lot on her agenda from, of course, managing bird flu, but, you know, rolling out disaster aid and everything else. So in trade and the new administration. So was she perceptive to those topics when you were discussing meeting with her?
She was. And you mentioned trade, and that is top of mind for sorghum. And so we said, hey, this is a problem, and it's China for sorghum. But we have a solution, and that's India. So that's really the partnership I'm hoping to bring forward for her is I'm not bringing you a problem without a solution, Secretary. So help us help you.
Mm-hmm. And Amy, you also testified before the Senate Ag Committee back in February and discussed the farm economy. What was your message to the committee in Washington?
Loud and clear, we need a farm bill. Everybody knows that the farm economy is very difficult, going through very difficult times. And so being able to carry that message was an honor and pretty weighty as well, because they're hurting in the farm economy. So for me to be able to relay that to our senators saying, guys, we've got to do something now. We appreciate the ad hoc assistance, but we've got to have that stability in a 5-year farm bill. And, you know, hearing that it continues to get kicked down the road, when does that mean those payments will actually get to our farmers? Not soon enough. So I hope that we can continue to forward that message in amongst all the other things going on. We've got to have that security for our farmers.
We'll be back with more from Caleb Ragland with the American Soybean Association right after this.
Weeds, razor-thin margins, supply chain disruptions. American farmers need innovative solutions to tackle the threats that impact us all. Their yield is their livelihood and the food that feeds our families. That shouldn't be on the line, which is why the Modern Ag Alliance advocates for access to essential crop protection tools like glyphosate to keep the future of farming in secure, hardworking hands. Get the facts and see what could be at risk.
Clean Fuels Alliance America is leading the way toward cleaner air, stronger local economies, and reduced dependence on fossil fuels. The industry uses more than 1 billion pounds of soybean oil every month to produce clean fuels. Biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel deliver immediate reductions in greenhouse gas emissions in heavy-duty transportation industries. We're growing better, cleaner fuels for today and tomorrow.
Caleb Raglan is president of the American Soybean Association. He says there are many topics contributing to the challenging farm economy.
There's a lot of policy opportunities that we're working on behalf of the American soybean farmer. We're advocating now into our third year for a five-year comprehensive farm bill. Lots of issues with that. There's many regulatory uncertainties right now with the new administration, new EPA coming in. There's lots of products that we need approvals on. Dicamba right now has a lot of uncertainties with the Xtend technology for soybeans, looking like may not have a registration for over-the-top application in 25. There's lots of uncertainty with trade, obviously, right now. I think that's probably top of mind for everybody. All of this stuff ties back to uncertainty for farm profitability and the overall farm economy.
And at Commodity Classic, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins addressed the crowd, but you actually had the chance to meet with her while she was here in Denver. Can you tell us a little bit about that conversation and what priorities you and the commodity group leaders laid out?
Yes, had a great opportunity to meet with Secretary Rollins. And what I asked her about specifically was the direction of the MAHA movement. And I communicated how we want to make America as healthy as possible. The American farmer has been doing that for a long time. What we do have concern with is if we're making decisions based off opinion or based off science and based off fact. And our encouragement is to use science, to use proven fact-based testing, to not cherry pick studies, and to use all of the resources that we have available to make good objective decisions. Right now, there's certainly some opposition to what we're doing. And we need the tools we have in our toolbox in order to be sustainable. Sustainability means a lot of things to a lot of people, but number one, we got to be profitable. We're not sustainable if we're not profitable. And our family farms are struggling right now. The farm economy's in a tough spot. The last thing we need is to have tools that we need to be good producers taken away from us.
And trade has been a very central focus through President Trump's campaign and now since he's entered office and a new announcement this week. What impact, you know, will those announcements and those tariffs, those reciprocal tariffs, you know, what impact will those have on your industry? And are you continuing to push, you know, for that, for the market relief that Secretary Rollins has mentioned in the past?
Well, market relief is great, but the reality is that is a Band-Aid on an open wound. What we need is trade. Free trade, open trade, more of it, new markets, more markets that already exist. We got to find ways to increase demand for our products because long term, that is the only thing that's going to keep the farm economy strong and productive. Tariffs are a tax, let's face it, and it goes both ways. Let's look at our friends in the north in Canada. We depend on them for nearly 90% of the potash that we use in the United States to grow our crops. They're dependent on our phosphate products that come from Florida largely. I mean, we just are taxing each other right there, and it hurts each other. There's lots of other things with fuel and with parts and with, it's just seed technology, crop protection, pesticides. It's just a litany of things that we depend on each other for, and this is going to hurt the ag economies of both countries. And what we need is free trade and a lot of it.
Lee Zeldin is the new EPA administrator and previously voted as a congressman against the renewable fuel standard. What has been, you know, your experience working with Zeldin, and you know, how optimistic are you that he'll be an advocate for biofuels and for 45Z and all the things, you know, on soybeans agenda in the upcoming year?
Well, there certainly is concerned over past history. I do know that his boss, President Trump, has said he loves American farmers, and if he loves American farmers, we're going to find ways to grow biofuels. We're going to increase RVOs. We're going to end barriers and regulations. We must get biofuel production ramped up quickly and on all fronts in this country.
We'll be back with more from Greg Petras, Ag Chair at the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, right after this.
I think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources.
This is my sustainability story.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
Greg Petras is president of Coon North America and serves as ag chair at the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. He says the challenging farm economy will make 2025 a challenging year in the ag machinery industry as well.
It's no secret. We're in between demand cycles right now. It's nothing new to the farm equipment industry. I think manufacturers in this sector continue to focus long-term on their strategic initiatives on how to raise the bar for the future. But at the same time, we have to mitigate and navigate through the short-term challenges. 2024 wasn't a bad year. Most farm equipment manufacturers had a lot of order book from the peak of the last cycle. But once they worked through that, we ended up with a lot of inventory out in the field relative to the current demand because of the farm economy and the uncertainty. But we expect 26 for some recovery, especially with what the USDA is projecting for net farm income. We'll see how that turns out, but we're optimistic for 2026, but 2025 is going to continue to be tough, especially in the crop sector.
Trade has been a very central focus through President Trump's campaign and now since he's entered office. What impact, impact for across the ag industry, but specifically the ag machinery sector, what impact will that have?
Yeah, well, AEM still supports fair trade. We support a level playing field, but we also support the ability for businesses in the U.S. to invest and trade with our allies so they can be competitive globally. Where the challenge comes in is when tariffs are used not sparingly and not well thought out, they are a tax on manufacturers. There's no doubt about that. And it raises the price of equipment. And of course, that slides down to the producer, and that's the last thing we want to see. The whole premise is that we're able to supply a quality product to the producer at an affordable price. And the fact is, our machinery is very specialized for farmers, very technical, and it takes a lot of specialized components and inputs in order to produce them. And they're not all produced in the U.S. In terms of Mexico and Canada, and the U.S., a very intermingled supply chain as it is. My company, Coon, sells in Canada. We have a subsidiary in Canada. A lot of times, if there's weather in one area and demand in another, where they're doing very, very well, we'll move equipment across the border. Every time I move equipment across the border with the tariff from Canada or the U.S., it means I'm going to have to pay another tariff. And that's just not a sustainable situation for us, and it has a very serious impact. There's also impact on equipment manufacturers, direct inputs. We have a lot of steel in our product, raw tubing, a plate, stainless steel, some aluminum, and a lot of the components are made of steel too. This is no secret. It's a big, big chunk of our input cost. We're already seeing with the tariffs that are in place now, we're already in the prospect for potentially more on the steel side. We're already seeing spot market prices increase 20-25% just in the last few weeks.
Like you said, that all does, not all, but a lot of that does trickle down to the farmer.
Absolutely. We can't absorb it all, especially at the size of these tariffs. It's just not possible. And we're not going to stop buying from I heard rhetoric about potentially 25% tariffs on automobiles from Europe, but also other things from Europe. So what does that mean for farm equipment and components that are made out of steel that I may buy from Italy because they're specialists in this particular component? They're either not available or not available at the cost and quality that I need. The farmer is not going to buy that. They're going to want to buy the same components that we're providing them that they trust. So it's just going to be more expensive and possibly price us out of the market and make it harder for the farmer to achieve such a purchase.
We'll be back with more from Keith Felty with the National Association of Wheat Growers right after this.
Weeds, razor-thin margins, supply chain disruptions. American farmers need innovative solutions to tackle the threats that impact us all. Their yield is their livelihood and the food that feeds our families. That shouldn't be on the line, which is why the Modern Ag Alliance advocates for access to essential crop protection tools like glyphosate to keep the future of farming in secure, hardworking hands. Get the facts and see what could be at risk.
Clean Fuels Alliance America is leading the way toward cleaner air, stronger local economies, and reduced dependence on fossil fuels. The industry uses more than 1 billion pounds of soybean oil every month to produce clean fuels. Biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel deliver immediate reductions in greenhouse gas emissions in heavy-duty transportation industries. We're growing better, cleaner fuels for today and tomorrow.
Keith Felty is president of the National Association of Wheat Growers. He says the organization is celebrating its 75th anniversary at Commodity Classic.
We've had a celebration of sorts. We had a bunch of our past presidents who could make it into the meeting. We had a news conference and had a few of them speak about their time as NOG president over the course of the years. And so that's been one thing that we've done here this week. And we've done a life cycle assessment for wheat, and we've got the results. So we're starting to roll out the results of that and being able to tell the good story of the benefits of wheat.
Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins was here and addressed the crowd at Commodity Classic. What kind of was your takeaway of her remarks to the crowd?
You know, Secretary Rollins is very dynamic, very exciting. We're excited to see what she can do for agriculture and industry. She brings a lot of energy to the office, and she had a lot of really good things, positive things to say, in the direction that she sees the USDA and the various agencies, Farm Service and Conservation and RMA, and getting things done in a timely manner that will be effective and beneficial for agriculture in general and the production of our food and fiber products.
Trade has been a central focus to President Trump's campaign and now since he entered office. What impact, you know, would that have on your wheat industry, and would you be in support of President Rollins has floated, you know, some of the financial support for producers that could be impacted by a trade war. So would NOG, and would you be in favor of that?
You know, trade is very important to the wheat industry, and that is one of the things that NOG is an advocate for, is fair and free trade. And, you know, the reason it's so important, 50% of our crop, wheat crop, that's produced locally, domestically, is for export. So it's a vital component to the production system for wheat, and we know that that President Trump has always been a champion, and that he is promoting and seeking fair trade. And we're confident that that will be the outcome going forward. And, you know, it's key that we have the tools for trade. And one of the things that we've been advocating for is our MAP and FMD programs, and doubling those amounts that are invested in trade for all. And that is something that is part of our policy book that we are advocating for.
And talk about uncertainty, you mentioned MAP and FMD funding, but part of the larger farm bill. So what advocacy is NOG still working on, you know, to get that across the finish line? That's another big thing on the agenda this year.
Yes, you know, we're on our second full year extension of the 5-year farm bill. And, you know, it is just so critical for the viability of so much of our agricultural production here in the United States. And, you know, our first priority is the crop insurance program. It is the cornerstone of our safety net.
Thanks for watching this week's special edition of Newsmakers from Commodity Classic. Both the House and Senate will be in session next week, ironing out details to avoid a government shutdown ahead of the March 14th deadline. As always, check our website for the latest updates. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.